AM on the dot. Good morning, everybody. How are you? I will be here until 11 a.m. when something about the women comes in. And today, I believe it will be our friend Kirsten. So looking forward to that. Also today in the 9 o'clock hour, I have the usual spate of New Noise and Freeform. And then at 9:45 a.m., very excited to let you know that we'll have a live edition of the Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico podcast with Steve Ricardo, the host, and his guest, a great representative of our Boston music scene, Nat Freeberg, will be with Steve today. So that's all starting right around 9:45 a.m. So let me touch on the freeform that I've got today. I have a remix of the awesome track from Crystal Canyon, a remix of their track called Catatonia. The Oars from New Hampshire have something new. Liam Gallagher has something new as well, some new noise. Boston's own Bad Marriage has a great one today for new noise. The Warning has some new noise today. And starting off with two sisters who call themselves Lark and Poe. They have a brand new single in advance of their upcoming album. This is Lark and Poe and New Noise, and this one is a great way to wake up. This one's called Bluephoria. It's a new take on the word blue in a song title. Who knew? It's brand new noise here from Lark and Poe at WMFO in Medford.
Hero, one time, two, three, many, amen. My fuse is burning pretty short, sweet Lord, have mercy, I ain't getting bugged off again. You went and dug a little deep to the bottom of the bucket, good luck, it's all gonna blow. Canary ain't singing no more, been down before, up is all I got to go. I said up is all. Around ain't working for me no more. I said I'm deep in the indigo. I should vertigo on an edge I can't ignore. I grew all the way up, gonna grow myself down. Deep roots gonna sing a different tune. We are who we are. I may not be a star, but I know that I can shine like the moon. We'll be right back.
shit, cause worry, it's all that you got. Metal shields on wood, push to our back. There's a splinter in your eye, it reads rehab. They shifted the statues for harboring ghosts. Red man out, got on their clothes. Then we danced the boys, the hitters got out. She gathered the corners, collared her down. She said, ooh, I'm not afraid to die.
But as long as there's a kid in the garage with a guitar, everyone can kiss my ass, cause we ain't going anywhere. You gotta pay your dues, you gotta pay to play. You can't be afraid to leave blood on the stage. When they ask why I don't go away, well, I just smile and say, I was made in the USA.
Is more like it.
You're listening to WMFO Medford.
WMFO in Medford. It's 9:20 in the morning. I'm Mike. How you doing? Good morning. It's humid and rainy this morning, but I'm told by the weather gods it's supposed to get kind of sunny this afternoon. Still hot, but it's not going to rain all day. So if you're making plans, that's a good thing to know. You're welcome. All right, so let me tell you what we played in that first set of the day. Started with new noise from Larkin Poe. Brand new single from them called Blueforia. Then reached way back to 1977 from the Cheap Trick record. That was He's a Whore. Directed at nobody in particular, really. REM was the third band in the third slot of the set from their Reckoning CD back in the 80s. From the deluxe edition, that was Harbor Coats. Boston's own Little Billy Lost from their awesome EP that came out in 2018 called Cox of the Walk. That was Made in the USA. And just heard New Noise to finish things up in that first set by The Warning. Brand new noise from them called Satisfied. All right, remember at 9:45 this morning, Steve Ricardo is here with his guest Nat Freeburg for a live edition of his Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico podcast. That'll be at about 9:45 this morning. But until then, I've got new noise to start off this next set. It's from Boston's own Bad Marriage, a brand new single called The Pennyman. This is new noise here at WMFO.
Stone cold. of self-discovery as my sails in flames. Here comes that feeling, here it comes again. I'm waiting for this storm to run out of rain. Here comes that feeling, here it comes again.
Hey, this is Amanda Palmer and the Grand Theft Orchestra, and you're listening to WMFO, Medford.
Decline that. She said she knew how to change our mind. Said
WMFO in Medford. I'm Mike. It's 9:41 in the morning. Let me tell you what I played in that last set. Started out with new noise from Boston's own Bad Marriage, a brand new single from them called The Penny Man. Then we heard Red Cross from their self-titled record that was called Stunt Queen. Boston's own Amplifier Heads were next from their Rectifier album that came out in 2022. That was Rock Rules. The next band was Sweet Lip with their single called Carol. Then we heard something brand new, some new noise from Liam Gallagher. Liam Gallagher along with John Squire, that was Mars to Liverpool. And just heard The Upper Crust from their record called Cream of the Crust. That was We're Finished with Finishing School, which leads right into what's going on now. It's my pleasure to introduce Steve Ricardo and his guest Nat Freeburg on a brand new edition of the Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico podcast live right here on WMFO.
Down at lakeside after twilight. Test, test, quiz, quiz. Welcome to Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico. I'm your host, Steve Ricardo. This is a special live edition of the podcast coming to you from 91.5 WMFO in beautiful Medford. I heard Amanda Palmer's before say it. She says it way better than I do. Medford, Massachusetts, where we're actually doing a live on the air recording. And this is all happening because DJ Mike Newman is letting us use up some of his airtime. Dude, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. This.
It was so much fun the last time that we're going to come back as often as we can. I want to mention something that's going on today, though, right down the road since we're live. There's a really good show at The Porch at 175 Rivers Edge Drive right here in Medford. The Party on the Porch was put together by our friend Jesse Mayer. Diablo Gato, The Dogmatics, Girl with a Hawk, Screaming Rebel Angels. I just checked them out. They're pretty cool. I know the other bands fairly well, but I didn't know the Screaming Rebel Angels. They look really good. I love afternoon shows. It's a sign of old age, I guess. It's easier to go to shows in the afternoon. Once again, that's at 175 Rivers Edge Drive in Medford. We have a very special guest here in the studio today. Boston rock royalty is in the room. Nat Friedberg, who's played in some iconic Boston bands over the years. The Flies, Titanic, Satanics, The Upper Crust, Freeloader. There's more. Nat is back on the show for a third time. He's in limited company. And he has a new solo record called Let Yourself Go. How you doing, Nat?
I'm doing good, Steve. Thanks for having me back.
I know this is really short notice, and you know, Rick Hart, our friend, was supposed to be here today. Have no fear, we have Rick rescheduled for August. So, but Nat has a new record out, which I checked out this week, and I thought it would be cool to have him back on. And we're going to play some of the songs from that record today for you. But first, I want to ask you a question, Nat, because I was thinking about this while I was driving over here. Everyone always talks about, you know, the history of Boston rock in between, like, say, 75 and 90. It was like a golden period in this city. I know I've talked to you about some of this stuff before.
Yeah.
I know that you might not remember everything.
I might not remember
but
anything.
What do you remember about that time period? You got started around 82, right?
With the Flies? That's right. Yeah. Started with the Flies and like 81, 82, and then Titanics, and that turned into the Satanics, yeah, and then Upper Crust.
So when you came in, it was like right after that surge of like DMZ and Nervous Eaters, the neighborhoods had just come.
They were the generation right before I started, yeah.
Did you get to see any of that?
I mean, I didn't get to see DMZ. Or in fact, I didn't get to see like almost any of those bands. That wave had come and kind of receded, I guess. And Jeff Connelly was doing the Liars then.
So yeah.
That was like, you know, the big thing. And, you know, you would only hear, oh, he used to be in this band DMZ. And it was, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, you're probably too young at the time to catch those bands.
Yeah.
So when you got into it around 81, do you remember what was happening? Like, where would you start playing? The Rat?
The Rat, Cantones.
Cantones.
Yeah, Chet's Last Call, places like that. It was a really cool time. That wave of bands that you described was kind of like, you know, like with the neighborhoods and stuff like that. They were like really strong rock and roll bands and you know, power pop bands and garage rock bands and stuff like that. And that wave had kind of receded, and there was just a more experimental type of thing going on. There was a lot of art rock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, there was.
And like, you know, new wave influence stuff. And, and there was still, like, punk rock, but punk rock was morphing into hardcore around that time. So it was weird. Yeah, it was a kind of... That scene that you described that preceded that had kind of dissolved and another scene was taking shape, but it was coming out in all different types of music and bands.
I didn't get to see, I think I went to my first show in Boston around, it was the end of 80. I saw the Outlets at the Rat.
Oh, wow.
Did you ever get put on any bills with like any of the hardcore bands? Because I noticed there were weird bills back then, and you'd see bands that didn't really fit, but they were on the same bill. Did you get?
Yeah, we did, you know, but not that often. That was a scene that was kind of, they kind of kept to themselves, so we didn't do a lot of shows with that kind of thing.
Did you, when you played those venues that you mentioned, did you end up on bills with touring bands, or was it mostly a bunch of Boston bands thrown together on a bill?
It was a lot of Boston bands thrown together and some touring bands that were not, they were still playing small clubs like that.
What's interesting about the Flies is it was in the 80s, because I know in 84 I started working at Enigma Records. All of a sudden, all these independent labels started popping up all over the country, even in Boston. There were, you know, Ace of Hearts Records and Throbbing Lobster and Propeller. Yeah. But you guys caught the eye of a label in New York, Homestead Records. And then there was a whole bunch of bands getting signed after that. Do you remember how that happened? Did they come up to Boston?
That was Gerard Cosloy, and he was, like, really young then. He was, like, I was young, but he seemed to me to be really young. So he was like a kid, but he was kind of a prodigy in the sense of, like, promoting and getting records made at that time. So, yeah, there was a bunch of... but it was kind of like art rock or proto indie rock, because I don't think indie rock existed quite yet, did it? I don't know.
I call it garage rock. You know, I call the Flies like a garage rock band. Do you get upset at a phrase like that?
No, we were definitely a garage rock band, but we were also kind of artsy at the time. Like me and Jay would switch off bass and guitar, and no one was an educated musician, so it was kind of...
Yeah, and you know, the bands that got signed from Boston to Homestead were really different. Salem 66, that's arty band right there, Julie Grunwald.
Yeah.
And Volcano Sons were more of like, you know, it was Peter Prescott, but it was more punk, I guess.
Yeah.
Although the Flies could, like, you know, were on that line there where you guys could get a little punky too.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of energetic, like, punk new wave stuff still happening, like, you know, like Wire and English bands like stuff like that were kind of had an edge to them, but were still kind of artsy and abstract.
Did they get you to come down to New York and play a lot?
Yeah, we played New York a lot, and we toured too, you know, we went further.
Did you do a national tour? I know you've done national tours with the Upper Crust and other bands.
We ended up in L.A. and stuff, and we went down south. And
the Flies went to L.A., wow.
I'm pretty sure, you know, I could be wrong about that.
You've been to L.A. many times with bands, so you can't remember every show you played.
I remember having lunch with X, the band X.
You did?
Yeah, and I think that was with the I was out there with the Flies.
What was that like?
They were really cool, you know? I guess they were pretty cool. I was pretty uncool.
They were cool and you were uncool.
That was my recollection. Yeah. of those days.
I can imagine John Doe being a cool dude, man. I wouldn't mind hanging out with him.
Yeah.
Magazines. Cool. She's a little out there, but, and Billy Zoom, smiley face himself, you know? Getting back to the Boston scene, were there bands that you remember from that era? I'm talking right now, the early to middle 80s that stood out in your mind. I'm sure you played with a lot of bands during that time. Were there any that you really liked? I know you became friends with a lot of other musicians because you ended up playing with a lot of different guys as the years went along.
Yeah. Gosh. You know, nothing springs to mind right now. You're quizzing me about like a time period that my brain doesn't
have detailed recollection. I'm having some deja vu. I think we went down this road once before when you were on the show. Well, you must have hung around at the Hoodoo Barbecue, upstairs from the Rat, because whenever I came to town from L.A. starting in 84, you just could go there, and then every time you turned your head, another person in a band would walk through the room.
Yeah.
And your drummer, Randall, worked there, right?
He did. He worked in the kitchen.
So were you just going there and hanging out there too and eating at the barbecue?
Yeah, and that was just like a place where everybody met. And Lily Dennison worked there, and she was involved with the early Del Fuegos too.
Yeah.
So that was one band that we kind of, I actually produced or made their first single. On my own little pretend label that didn't really exist.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I forgot about the Del... How do you forget about the Del Fuegos? I'll tell you a funny story. I was in L.A. in 84 when they came and played L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, like... It was Club Lingerie. I don't know if you ever played there on Sunset Boulevard.
I have played
there. And there were, like, maybe 50 people in the room, but Joe Strummer was there.
Huh.
David Lee Roth was there.
Oh.
And Paul Westerberg all at that show.
God damn.
And the Del Fuegos were playing in front of 50 people. They had they'd just gotten on Slash, I guess, at that time, Slash Records.
Uh-huh.
Did you, were major labels sniffing around you at that time?
I don't think so. If they were, I don't have a recollection of it.
You know, and then after the Flies, the Titanic, so that brought us to a little bit of a different era. The late 80s, things started to really change. All of a sudden, there were a million independent labels, and there are tons of bands touring and stuff. What do you recall about the scene when the Titanics were on it? Because the Titanics, did they get a little more popular than the Flies, or was it neck and neck, kind of?
I think we had local popularity. I don't think we ever broke out beyond local. But we played all the clubs around here pretty intensively. That was more of like a hard rock thing. I think I was kind of done with the arty indie thing and wanted to just play a more straight up hard,
more guitar rock. Dave was in that band.
Dave Fredette was in that band, and he was definitely like, he brought his love of AC/DC and hard rock Marshalls and Gibson guitars. So
that's one thing that's impressive about you, is you've played with a lot of these guys for a long time, especially Dave and Jim. Those are the two longest, right?
Yeah.
Jim Chinoda.
Yeah.
And you met them way back then.
Yeah,
it's hard to believe that was 34 years ago.
Yeah, Jim was in the Bags, who are now getting back together.
I saw them play at the Justine Covault tribute show. I don't know if you were there.
Yeah.
They were good.
Yeah, they're really good. And they're making a new record. I mean, I shouldn't be spilling the beans about
please,
what they're up
please
to.
Spill the beans. I actually, John said that they're going to, you know, they're going to come on my show eventually, when I knew something was going on, because I reached out to them and said, hey, you want to come on? And they're like, we got something cooking.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
They're in the studio making a new record. And yeah, I know that's specifically this week, because Janota couldn't practice with Freeloader because he was getting ready to go in the studio with the Bags.
Oh, I love the way you just brought up Freeloader. That's the greatest segue ever, because we have a Freeloader song queued up, which we're going to get to in about a second. Can you say what studio they're recording in? I could guess.
I think it's Minahan.
I was going to say
Woolly Mammoth.
Yeah, I was going to say that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, they were doing some recording there a couple months ago, and I think they're still doing it there.
Yeah, because the neighborhoods in the Bags were like kind of like kins, you know, they were like always locked in together for a while there around 86, 87.
Yeah.
Let's listen to a song and then we'll get back to it. This is Give Me What's Left of Your Love from Freeloader.
You are listening to WMFO in Medford.
Woohoo!